This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. John Hockenberry is out today, but he'll be back tomorrow. Before we introduce my next two guests, take a listen first to Derek.
Hey, my name's Derek. I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky. I get 10 to 15 headaches a month. About 3 months ago, my doctor found a daily medication that actually helps. When I get a terrible headache, I have to sit in the dark and the quiet and wait for it to pass. Sometimes my stomach even churns. It hurts so bad.
Derek is one of about 36 million Americans who suffer from migraines. Women suffer in particular. Here's one of the many contributions we've had. This is from Corvallis in Oregon. My mother has struggled from debilitating migraines since I can remember. We used to have to call an ambulance to pick her up and bring her to the ER. From a young age, I had to learn how to take care of her and the family when she was bedridden for days at a time. Now, over the last 50 years, there hasn't been a single drug developed that can prevent or certainly not cure migraines. But there's some new research in early stages that shows some hope that a prevention drug could be within reach. Two studies presented to the American Academy of Neurology examined two drugs that work by blocking a protein that ultimately stops the migraine from starting in some cases. Dr. David Dodick is the co-author of this research. He's also a professor of neurology at the Mayo Clinic and chairman of the American Migraine Foundation. Doctor, welcome.
Good to be with you.
Thank you. We also have Annalise Tobin. She's an analyst with Decision Resources, a healthcare information company, and she focuses on the migraine pharmaceutical market. Hi, Annalise.
Hi.
Dr. Dodick, let me start with you. I've had a couple of migraines, certainly not chronically, but people who hear this will know if they've ever had them. You can lose your vision. There's some blindness involved, debilitating headache, even nausea, dizziness. It's really terrible. People would really love to have some relief. Can you explain sort of how these drugs might work?
Well, we've known for about 20 years or so that there's a protein known as calcitonin gene-related peptide, or CGRP for short, that appears to be very important in generating and maintaining a migraine attack. And so these drugs may work by preventing CGRP from exerting or doing what it does to generate an attack of migraine outside and even inside the brain.
So it blocks the protein that we see builds up like before a migraine comes around. Is that the idea?
That's the idea. So this protein actually will bind to receptors in nerves and throughout the brain. And so what this drug does is it binds to this protein and it prevents it from actually attaching itself to its receptor. And we believe that when that protein attaches itself to its receptor, it starts to generate a migraine attack.
Now, there's a great deal of excitement, Dr. Dodick, around your research. But one thing that I noticed, Dr. Dodick, is that you had an impressive 66% decrease in the frequency of migraines over a month in the 160 or so people in your study, but people who got placebo, sort of a dummy drug, had a 50% increase. So everybody kind of got better. It's just that your people got a slightly more better.
Well, you know, you've touched on something very important and something that we've struggled with in the migraine research space for quite some time. It's a problem with pain in general, but in migraine in particular, where placebo response rates are very high. And there's probably a number of reasons for that. In this particular study, we believe that not only was there a lot of anticipation and heightened expectation around getting a new and very novel drug that people thought was going to be effective, but also as the invasiveness of the treatment goes up or increases, so too does the placebo response. So when you inject a medication under the skin or intravenously, that is a much more powerful placebo effect than taking a pill, for example.
And I wanted to ask you, Dr. Dodick, you mentioned an IV injection under the skin. That's how these drugs work. Ultimately, to sort of have mass market appeal, what you really want is an easy-to-take pill. I mean, it's kind of a big deal to go in for an IV injection.
Well, that's true. I mean, but by the same token, most people don't like taking a pill every day. And when you're taking a drug that you're trying to prevent migraine attacks, you actually have to take it once or twice a day. So that a lot of patients are discouraged about taking medications every day. If you can get an intravenous infusion once every 3 months or once every 4 months, I think that would have a lot of appeal to people. Similarly, if you can take a medication once a month, subcutaneous injection like an insulin shot, for example, once a month, I think there would be a whole host of people who would rather do that than to swallow a pill every day, particularly if the side effect profile is minimal with these new medications.
All right. Well, let's find out. Let's turn to Annalise Tobin, who's an analyst with Decision Resources, an expert on the market for migraines. Annalise, what does the market look like? Are patients clamoring for a migraine drug that really, really works, even if it's an injection?
Yeah, that's a good question. There is a substantial unmet need for better migraine prevention medications, both those that would be more efficacious and those that are more tolerable than what's currently on the market. And the issues that you raised about would patients want to go in for an injection, for an administration, rather than taking an oral pill, these were issues that were considered when Allergan was first getting regulatory approval for Botox for prevention of chronic migraines. And when before Botox was on the market for migraines, all the other medications were oral pills that you would take at home. There seems to be, now that Botox is approved for migraine, the uptake of Botox seems to be fairly good in the market, still in a small percentage of patients. But that is, I should say, a therapy that is injected sort of intramuscularly into the facial and the neck muscles once every 3 months by a trained physician. And patients are going in for that therapy. They're failing the oral therapies and looking for relief and going to Botox. And in some cases, patients are responding well to that therapy. So Allergan's Botox is basically sort of shown a path that there is an opportunity for physician-administered drugs in the migraine prevention space.
Well, Annalise Tobin, give us an idea, if you can, of how many billions in potential dollars we're talking about in this market if there's a successful preventative treatment for migraine.
That's a good question. It's hard to estimate. I'd say right now, we estimate that right now it's making around $200 to $300 million. Again, in a very small population of patients, but it's a relatively expensive therapy. And we think that over the next several years that will increase to at least $500 million.
So, Dr. Dodick, right now, people who want marginally effective treatment are getting injections in the face. You may have an alternative here, but what's left to do?
Well, what's left to do is to take these preliminary results and move into now large phase three studies, pivotal phase three studies that hopefully, if the efficacy and the safety and tolerability are confirmed in larger phase three studies, that may lead to regulatory approval by the FDA. So there's still work to be done to confirm these preliminary findings, and that generally means two large phase three trials.
Well, you heard it there. There is some promise in two small studies that there may be a treatment on the horizon to prevent migraines. Dr. David Dodick is co-author of that research, and he's professor of neurology at the Mayo Clinic. And we were also joined by Annalise Tobin, an analyst with Decision Resources. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Are you one of the 36 million Americans who suffers from migraines? We're always interested to hear your stories. We want to know how you cope. This comes to us from Somerville, New Jersey. I've had a migraine, which varies in intensity, but never really leaves. Almost every minute of every day for the last 5.5 years, it has cost me my ability to work and to support myself, the ability to do things I enjoy, and it has placed an enormous strain on my friendships as I'm unreliable where plans are concerned. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.